Well, good morning. My body is riddled with allergies and Benadryl. Last night, when I was writing this homily, my intellect was very much subdued. And so it's a very simple homily, and it is a simple gospel as well. This message is simple. It's a simple invitation, but simple doesn't mean easy to do, and it doesn't mean easy to describe. It doesn't mean easy to grasp. Simple concepts can be the most difficult to grasp because they are simple. And I use the example of this pew or chair. If I was to describe this chair to you, I could say it has, it's got four legs, it's blue and it's brown, and it's got some cushions on it, and you can sit in it. You actually can kneel on the back of it. I can say a lot of things about it. It's made out of wood and fabric. All right, like that's because it's a complex thing. There's a lot more that's readily available as a description. But if you like raised your hand and said, I heard you say the chair is blue. What? Could you describe blue to me? Sure. Yeah. Well, blue. Blue. Well, it's definitely not red. It's kind of and then we will compare it to the water or the sky or something else that happens to be blue, but that has nothing to do with the essence of blue. Because if you touch water, you get wet, but if you touch blue, you don't get wet. It's not the same thing. We'll compare it to something, we'll make a comparison. But the description isn't really there unless we can see it for ourselves, or have at one point been able to see it for ourselves. And the simple explanations can often be those that take the most time. The simplest concepts, the ones that take the most time to truly grasp and truly enter into. As Jesus invites us, it's a simple invitation. He invites us to meditate on his word alone with him in private. What he said in the gospel there, 2,000 years ago, well, what it says of him, rather, he spoke in parables, to the public, but to his own disciples, he explained everything in private, because there's something about that time with Jesus, just you and him in the Word, that is irreplaceable, and he's inviting us there to meditate on the Word, to read the Bible, and then ask him for the grace to understand what we just read. This is not easy. Now that it's a simple invitation, but it's not an easy thing. And when you actually go and read the Bible for yourself, which is not only encouraged, but probably necessary for salvation, it is difficult to understand, which is why at times in the history of the church, we have discouraged people from doing it, because we need the help of the church to understand Scripture. This is true. But that doesn't mean that Jesus does not invite us to take some time alone in the Word and to allow ourselves to just bang our heads against the wall trying to understand what does this mean. Because let's be honest, when you read the Bible, okay, even when you just hear the Bible at Mass, right? You hear the deacon proclaims the gospel, or maybe it's the readings, one of the readings that you're listening to very intently and trying to understand. You hear it, you might understand, you might not. Then I get up to preach a homily, and you think, Lord, I thought I understood it, but then when Father Dan started talking, I realized, like, nope. Definitely not what I was thinking. That didn't help. I mean, the homily is actually supposed to explain the scriptures, more or less, most of the time. But sometimes you hear the word of God. And right away, we don't understand, well, what does that really mean? What's he trying to say? What does that mean? The kingdom of God is like seed that was scattered, and then it grows night and day. The farmer knows not how it grows. What does that mean? What's important in that? How does that relate to my life today? These are good questions to ask if you're reading the Bible. How does that relate to my life today? And the funny thing about that actually is that Jesus says there are no shortcuts to understanding his word. There's no shortcut to understanding scripture. There's no shortcut to a relationship with him, because that's the invitation. We have to take that time alone with him in the word, where we're reading the Bible. Not that we don't also get help in understanding the Bible from people. That's why we have Bible studies. But we need that. But we also need to spend our own time alone with Jesus. To his disciples, he explained everything in private. Few accept this invitation, but everybody's invited. Jesus had a lot of crowds and a lot of disciples and fewer disciples. And fewer who were there, who would go, where he could explain to them in private, in that personal experience of, I'm going to open your word, and I'm going to persevere in trying to understand what this means. And that's where the growth comes, in these hidden ways. When we pray, if most of our prayer seems, fruitless, or, you know, if we read the Bible and it's confusing right away, and an hour later it's still confusing, that's probably good prayer. At least we persevered for the hour. And we think, oh boy, I didn't get anything out of that. But Jesus says, it grows night or day, the farmer knows not how. He doesn't know how. It's mysteriously in these times of prayer where we can't see the growth happening. That's where it happens. And scripture study or a time alone with the Lord in scripture is just one of the very important ways. And this caused me to reflect today on the reality that we understand. Think about growth. Just think about life, or I was thinking about corn myself. How corn, you know, did you think about how you can Skype somebody in Germany? When my brother was in Afghanistan, I would Skype him. I would also text him. All you need is WhatsApp. If you have WhatsApp, you can text. You can text anybody in the world. I can play video games with somebody from the Netherlands on my phone. It's like it's sort of like Risk on my phone. I love that game. What else can we do? We can put a man on the moon. You can look on Google Earth, and you can look anywhere in the world almost and have a picture, a satellite picture of... I was showing my parents these mountains we climbed in Colorado when I lived there. And it's a little bit hard to see a mountain, but houses are easy. You can show a picture of somebody's house. So somebody was over from from Lebanon to my parents' house, and I had him show us exactly the picture of his house. Like zoomed in on the globe, you know, and zoomed in. I love maps. Google Earth is amazing. We can do all that. We can do all that and more, but we still have to wait for corn to grow. We have to wait for it to grow. It's knee-high by the 4th of July. It's like, really? Like, that's a month. Well, that's a few weeks away. Can't we speed that up? You know? I can go to the moon and back before you get some corn down here. Growth is mysterious. In the time of Jesus, it was true. In our time, it's still true. Scientists can manipulate a lot of things, but we don't understand life. Not really. Not even close. We don't understand growth. We don't understand that seed germinating and the process well enough. But we have to wait. In this hidden underground thing, when the seed gets planted and then it dies and turns into a plant, then eventually you get some fruit out of that. Eventually you start to see the thing coming out of the ground and you're like, oh, maybe something is happening here. And I'm telling you, you don't need, in a sense, you don't need faith. Okay, you do need faith when you go to the scripture. Okay, we always need faith, but we know what's going to happen, at least in as much as Jesus has invited us and told us what will happen. It's not quite the same as, you know, like how you know corn is going to grow. Like farmers worry about the weather and different things, but there's no question that if there's good weather, that those seeds are going to turn into corn. That corn's going to grow up. It's like this happens year after year. You understand the process. Put it in the ground and then, you know, give it some time. It's true with prayer. Jesus compares us to plants a lot in the Bible. And when we allow ourselves to be to when we accept his invitation. I was going to say when we allow ourselves to be planted, but it's really when we allow the word of God to be planted in our hearts. We receive this new life, this new growth. And one of the indispensable ingredients is that time alone with Jesus. We're still not going to understand it fully. We will still need someone's help in understanding the scriptures, and that's okay. That's a good thing. But nothing can replace that. To his friends, he still explains everything in private. And few there are who take him up on this invitation. Many who say, oh, the Bible's hard to understand. Yeah, I don't quite get it. But few who take the time to read, to listen, to open up the Bible and read about Jeroboam and Rehoboam, or I don't know, one of the Psalms. What does this prayer mean in this Psalm? What does it mean that these brothers were fighting? And what does that have to do with my life today? That's where the Lord invites us to some growth and patience, a lot of patience. Most of it seems fruitless until we see the growth and experience the growth. And then we're not afraid to wait for the plants to grow. Once we've experienced that a little bit, the Lord invites us to time with him in Scripture. The time spent with him. This invitation, through this invitation, our hearts somehow, mysteriously, just become ready to receive the kingdom of God, the new life of the kingdom of God. I don't know. Jesus says, it grows day or night. He knows not how. And sometimes I find myself trying to explain the process of what happens when you're alone with Scripture with the Lord, or what happens when you come to Mass and it's a time of worshiping God. And it's that process that is very mysterious and we can't fully explain it. All we know is that this is what he invites us to. Because the kingdom of God is what we were made for. Because we were made for a relationship with Jesus where we can hear his voice and we can read the scriptures and understand what he's saying to us. We were specifically made to be able to hear his voice. And he gave us the Bible, the word of God, to speak to us. And so we should have great faith that our time in prayer, even if it's confusing, is not wasted. It was invested. It was planted. It was worthwhile. And that we should continue to allow the word of God to be planted in our hearts and persevere in prayer and persevere in listening to God's word, because it will bear fruit. Because when we go in private with the Lord, where he invites his friends, everyone, his friends go there. His friends receive that invitation. And so he is able to give them the kingdom of God. Their lives reflect his kingdom.